Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Megan Hollish. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Michael Fagan, PhD, about the benzodiazepines lorazepam and alprazolam and their varying impacts on progression-free survival outcomes for patients with pancreatic cancer. Dr. Fagan is an associate professor of pharmacology and therapeutics at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center in Buffalo, New York. Data from a retrospective study conducted by Dr. Fagan's laboratory at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center and published in Clinical Cancer Research demonstrated that 40 patients with pancreatic cancer who received lorazepam experienced significantly worse progression-free survival outcomes compared with those who did not receive the agent, with a hazard ratio of 3.83. However, 27 patients given alprazolam achieved significantly improved progression-free survival outcomes versus those who had not received the agent, with a hazard ratio of 0.38. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Fagan discussed methods for conducting this research, data from the study examining mouse models and the tumor microenvironment, and the implications of findings showing that lorazepam activated GPR68 on cancer-associated fibroblasts and led to the production of interleukin-6, while alprazolam potently decreased IL-6 levels. What was the rationale for this research?
The rationale really started from a couple of pieces of information that were brought together by Abigail Cornwell, who was the first author of the paper. In the process of thinking of projects for her qualifying exam, she was doing a whole bunch of reading about pancreatic cancer and started reading about the role of G-protein-coupled receptors in cancer pathogenesis. And that's what my lab has studied for a long time. And so she came across this paper showing that one G-protein-coupled receptor called GPR68 was really important for the function of cancer-associated fibroblasts. And then another paper that had come out right around the same time showing that there were some kinds of anti-anxiety drugs called benzodiazepines that could activate GPR68. And then another piece of information that a lot of patients, maybe the majority of patients that are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer have high levels of anxiety and depression, and a lot of them are prescribed anti-anxiety drugs. And so she kind of put all this information together and said, well, what if these patients that are taking anti-anxiety drugs are actually activating GPR68 on their cancer-associated fibroblasts, leading to activation of these fibroblasts and possibly worse patient outcome? And so that was kind of the thought behind the whole project and how it all got started.
What methods were used to conduct this research?
So we used a combination of epidemiology, mouse models, and in vitro experiments to really kind of tackle this on multiple levels. So the epidemiological studies that we performed were using patient data here at Roswell Park, where we looked at associations between people taking benzodiazepines or specific kinds of benzodiazepines and their outcome, or how long they were able to live with their diagnosis. So that was one part of the project. And then the next thing was, since we saw this association between certain benzodiazepines and outcome, we said, well, what impact are these drugs having on the tumor itself? And so we used a couple of different mouse models of pancreatic cancer. Abby treated the mice with these drugs. And then we looked at the changes in the tumor microenvironment within these tumors that were either treated or untreated. And then to try to understand exactly how this was happening, we isolated these cancer-associated fibroblasts and treated these fibroblasts in a dish directly with the drugs to look for changes in signaling outputs. So all three of those levels.
So what were the key findings from the study?
We found an association between the specific types of benzodiazepines that were taken by patients and their progression-free survival. And so it turned out that, first of all, benzodiazepines, at least at Roswell Park, and we think at other places, are commonly prescribed to cancer patients. Pancreatic cancer seems to have the highest percentage of patients that are prescribed these drugs. And then when we look at the specific benzodiazepines, lorazepam had a negative correlation with outcomes. So patients taking lorazepam had a worse outcome, and patients taking alprazolam had a better outcome. And that was kind of surprising because those drugs are very, very similar. They're both intermediate acting benzodiazepines that are commonly prescribed, and their structures are very, very similar. And so we wanted to understand why lorazepam was having these effects. And so we took the mice, mouse models of pancreatic cancer, treated them with lorazepam. And what we found was that the tumor microenvironment, so the kind of environment that the tumor cells are living in, was very different in the mice that were treated with lorazepam in particular. There was lots more deposition of collagen. This is extracellular matrix protein that can lead to kind of hardening of the tumors. And we saw all these changes that were really associated with poor outcome in patients. So that kind of led us to believe that maybe this was driving that response. And then when we went into our in vitro studies, we were able to actually look at the signaling pathways that were activated by lorazepam. So we found that lorazepam was activating this protein, GPR68, on the cancer-associated fibroblasts, leading to secretion of IL-6, which is a pro-inflammatory molecule. And in contrast, we saw that alprazolam actually potently decreased IL-6. And that might explain the differences in survival that we saw, because it's well known that IL-6 is really important for response to therapy in pancreatic cancer patients. And then at the end, we said, well, you know, does this have any reality outside of pancreatic cancer? And so we looked at patient outcome across a whole bunch of different cancer types and found that people taking lorazepam in general had worse outcomes across a lot of the different cancers that we looked at, with a couple of notable exceptions. So I think there's probably different mechanisms going on in these different cancer types, but it just tells you that all of these benzodiazepines are not the same, and a lot more work needs to be done to understand what these drugs are doing in the context of pancreatic cancer and other cancers.
Did any of these results come as a surprise? Is there anything you would want to add on that?
I was surprised that there were these big differences in outcome between two drugs that are so similar. But, you know, we know lots of examples of, you know, small changes in chemical structure that can have really drastic impacts on their ability to bind certain targets. And so what we were able to confirm was that lorazepam and drugs of that structure, or benzodiazepines of that structure, bind and activate GPR68, but alprazolam, despite the fact that it's very similar, does not activate GPR68. And other drugs that are related to alprazolam also do not bind GPR68. But those drugs on that side all potently decrease IL-6. So they do something in these cells. We don't know what it is.
Is there anything you wanted to say regarding both the agents' effect on overall survival and the different types of tumors examined?
Looking at the impact of lorazepam and alprazolam on different tumor types, I think it's all going to be tumor type specific. So we think, at least in pancreatic cancer, that lorazepam is acting on GPR68 on the cancer-associated fibroblasts, because that's where GPR68 is highly expressed. We know that there are other cancers, probably like colon cancer, that have lots of cancer-associated fibroblasts that also express GPR68. But I think there are other tumor types, like kidney cancer, for example, where GPR68 is highly expressed on the tumor cells themselves. And so I think what could be really cool would be the development of GPR68 inhibitors that might let us target this directly. But I think we really need to investigate GPR68 function individually in all these different cancer types to really figure out what it's doing, because I don't think it's the same.
What are some next steps for this research?
Yeah, so I think there are a few really important steps. One, I think we need to increase the size of our epidemiological studies to really make sure that this holds up in a larger cohort of patients using data from other cancer centers around the country. I think that's going to be really important to confirm these findings. The other thing is we really love to start clinical trials to really evaluate the effect of probably not lorazepam, but probably alprazolam on patient outcome, and also what effect it has in the tumor microenvironment, and IL-6 in particular. Those are the two things I'm most interested in right now.
What is a take-home message for your colleagues?
The most important thing, I think, is, you know, we think of all of these drugs that are prescribed to cancer patients, like chemotherapy and immunotherapy and things like that. But there's a whole universe of other drugs that cancer patients are taking to deal with all of the side effects of cancer, all the things that go along with their treatment, including drugs for pain and drugs for anxiety, drugs for depression, because these are all realities of these patients. And the drugs that treat all those things, you know, we're all tested for those conditions, but not in the context of cancer. And so, you know, we just need to remember that these drugs might be having these unintended consequences on how tumors grow, could be positive or negative, and how they respond to therapy. And so I think there's a lot of examples of this out there, and we really need to keep working on it.
Is there any additional information you'd like to add on the study?
We're being very careful not to tell patients to switch from one drug to another and not use that. I think the most important thing is to have patients, if they're concerned, talk to their oncologist about what drugs they're taking, like lorazepam or alprazolam, and for clinicians to be aware of the work that we're doing and that more work needs to be done to really figure this out before recommendations can be made.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you can get a notification every time a new podcast is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.